Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Welcome again to another installment of Reading the Word. This is the sixth program in this series, and as time is permitting, what we're doing is we're examining a beautiful passage of Scripture known as Psalm 119, almost at the exact center of the Bible. The longest chapter, if you could call it that. I'd rather not call each psalm a chapter, but just it is the longest psalm. It is the longest portion of Scripture that we have found in our Bibles, and we're examining it. So I encourage you to take a copy of the Bible that you have in front of you. I hope you have. Well, if not, of course, you can find one online. I am reading from the King James Version. We're going to read the Zane section. Now, that's verses 49 through 56. What we're doing with this is we're dividing it up like it's divided up in my copy of the Scripture, and probably like yours as well, into 22 8-verse sections. Let's read the psalm, and then we'll get into our lesson. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have led me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. And as we're going through here, that concludes our reading, by the way, we're looking at a set of different words that appear in all of these verses that refer to the Word of God. Now, the Zane section, that would correspond closely to our letter Z of the English alphabet. And if I could sum up this passage of Scripture, I might just call it profound respect for the Word of God. That's what the psalmist has. We don't know who the psalmist is. We can make guesses, and we may make some educated guesses as we continue this study together. But this is a profound respect for the Word of God. So with verse 49, he says, remember the word unto thy servant. We need to remind ourselves that God will not forget what he has promised us. God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's all-wise. God knows, and if God's made a promise, you don't have to think, well, is he going to remember to do that, or is he not? Because God always remembers to keep his promises. Now, we also learn today that we are servants of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. We are the servants of Christ. Also, when he wrote to those in Philippi, Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops or elders and with the deacons. And once more, when James begins his letter in James 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. We see that we are servants, and God will always remember his promises. Now, the psalmist here is asking God to remember because the psalmist is also reminding himself of God's promises. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Quickened just means alive. Notice we have hope at the end of verse 49. We have comfort, and we have the word of God, his scripture. It's all back to back to back. Now, Romans 15:4, Paul says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That tells us that the Old Testament is valuable, and through studying the Old Testament, we can have hope of a new life. We can learn from the bad examples not to imitate them. We can learn from the good examples that we need to mimic those things. Also in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, Paul is talking about when Jesus Christ returns, and he ends that chapter in verse 18. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can be comforted only from the Word of God. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, I have comforted myself. We see that comfort is found nowhere else but from the Bible. Verse 53 says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Horror here is burning, may be translated as hot indignation. But why the horror? Why? Because people have neglected the Word of God. He's observing wicked people who forsook the law, and it's causing him to have horror or to feel scared, to feel sad, to feel sorry for the way that they are living. Verse 54, "My statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." We see that with this one, it kind of sounds Davidic. In other words, that means David. We might could see from this verse that David wrote the psalm, but it's not. The Bible doesn't tell us, but David was a musician. In fact, when we're first really introduced to David, one of the first things he's doing is he's playing music for King Saul. Question today is, what kind of song should we sing? Well, when Paul writes to those in Ephesus in Ephesians 5:19, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We sing with our voices, not with instruments. God has never commanded His people under the New Testament, New Covenant, to use musical instruments. Also, Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." God wants us to sing unto Him using our vocal cords. And since that's the way that God wants me to do it, that's the way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to bring in a guitar, a piano, a banjo, a choir. I'm not going to bring that in. I'm going to bring in my voice, and I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I may not think it's a joyful noise, and maybe the people around me, maybe they wish I could sing just a little bit better than I can, but they're not the audience. God is the audience. Let's quickly look at verse 55. "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law." Notice this marvelous memory here that the psalmist has. When he talks about remembering thy name, he's talking about the entire person. Sometimes a name can represent a whole person. My name is Justin Reed, and maybe when you see that, hear that, or maybe when it comes across the airwaves of the radio, you think who that is. Well, here the psalmist remembers the name of God. He remembers the entire person of God. And notice, keeping the law in the night is going to aid him in remembering it during the day. And with that concludes the Zane section. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back on the other side of this, and we will continue with the Cheth section of Psalm 119.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you for sticking around with us. Thank you, Brother Dearman, for mentioning where Wood is located. We would love to have you as a visitor at any or all of our worship services. It would just make my day if you would come out and visit us. We're continuing our examination of Psalm 119. Let's now look at the Cheth section, which is the eighth section of this psalm. I almost forgot what I was trying to say. Cheth is found in verses 57 through 64. Let's look at it together. "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Now, Cheth, being the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it closely corresponds to two lowercase letter H's in the English alphabet. That's the closest we can get. In verse 57, when he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," notice what he says. God is his portion. Notice what he does not say. He does not say, "Thou art my prestige, my power, my earthly wealth, my sinful pleasure, my earthly popularity, my vast property." That's not what he says. He says, "The Lord is his portion." I think if the psalmist were alive today, whomever we want to say wrote this psalm, I think he would probably couple this verse with the song, "He is my everything." It goes, "He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now how about you?" Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, "Who is this Jesus you talk about every day?" He is my Savior, he set me free. Now listen while I tell you what he means to me. He'll be your everything. He'll be your all. He'll be your everything, both great and small. He gave his life for you, made everything new. He'll be your everything as he is mine too. Is he your Savior this very day? Is he the person you talk about day by day? Yes, he will save you. He'll set you free. So obey his commandments and sing along with me. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for us, made everything new. He is our everything. Now how about you? That's what the psalmist is coupling it with. God is his everything. You know what people say? A quote, a very good quote, and I don't know who said it, but the person said, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There's going to be a lot of people on the day of judgment. Matthew 21 gives us a glimpse of this. They're going to say, Lord, I had good intentions. Lord, I meant to come to service. Lord, I meant to go talk to that person. Lord, I meant to reach out. Lord, I meant to do this. Lord, I meant to do that. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he, notice, that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Not enough just to hear it, not enough just to read it, but you have to keep it. You have to put it in practice. Also, Revelation 22, in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commands, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And James 1, 22 through 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God is our portion. I will keep thy words. In verse 58, I entreated thy favor. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I love these verses. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Hear the psalmist and Moses in Numbers. That's no half-hearted entreaty. We all need the mercy of God. And if David wrote the psalm, David knew this. Whoever wrote the psalm, they are well aware of this. In verse 59, I thought on my own ways, turned my feet unto thy testimonies. We see self-examination is key in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. John, when he wrote his second little epistle there, in 2 John in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we may not lose those things which we have wrought, but we have a full reward. And 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, but let a man examine himself so that he may eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Of course, in that context, he's talking about partaking of the Lord's Supper. Why is it important that I, Justin Reed, examine Justin Reed's life and you examine your life? What if I examine your life? Well, I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know why you may have done certain things a certain way, and the same is true towards me. I must examine me. You must examine you, and guess what? If we're in the wrong, we need to repent of that. Repentance is a change in thought that results in a change in action. It starts at the top, and it works its way all the way down. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 11:21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and they turned to the Lord, which meant they turned away from wickedness. Also, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So verse 59, we need to examine our lives. And then if we're doing what God has said, good job for us, and we need to keep doing that. If not, we need to stop doing the wickedness and start living for God. We're going to draw the line in the sand here next week. I hope you'll join us again for Reading the Word. We will pick up in Psalm 119 and verse 60. I also want you to think about, am I living the way that God wants me to? May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.